Well, hello, brothers and sisters, and future brothers and sisters, if you're not a Christian already, this ministry is brought to you with the full intention and full hopes that all who are in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ will continue to grow, that they will be edified and encouraged through the verse-by-verse Bible teaching that we give you every single day, and those who are maybe contemplating this biggest decision of their lives, we pray that these teachings will push you over the edge and into that humbling submission of your pride and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. My name is Matthew Minona and my wife Victoria. We are the owners and operators of the Wash and Word, which is the hand car wash business. You can find us on Highway 11W. We're in Church Hill, there in the Palace Shopping Center, and there we do hand car washing. Everything's by hand. We take great pride and care. We know that we work for our God. The Bible says that whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And so we wash cars for His glory and for getting God's word out there. Because we looked around and we said to ourselves, there are more churches. We don't need another church. What we need is more of the word of God in this society. So what we do is we play verse-by-verse Bible teachings. They originally air on WMCH 1260 AM radio Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning, and then we take those five messages and we play them on a loop throughout the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right here at the Wash and Word, and they go forth on a small radio transmitter on 107.1 FM. So if you're in the parking lot or you're in this general area, whether you be at the library or Holston Medical Group or eating your lunch over at Pal's, shopping at the antique store, whatever it is, just tune to 107.1 and you'll be able to hear some verse by verse, and I'm going to humbly and confidently say you're going to hear some good quality pertinent teaching. I allow the Lord to move me as I bring these messages to you, and we do it all for the glory of God. So let's not belabor that too much. If you have any questions or you need more information about the ministry, simply go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word. .com, and there you can download and listen to all of the archive messages for free. There's information about the business, about the ministry. And so let us get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. And of course, being verse-by-verse, we pick up where we left off. And this method of teaching brings the entire counsel of God's word to your ears. And why do we do it this way? Because we don't believe that God left anything out of His Word or was meant for us to leave anything out. He meant His whole Word to be preached in all of its entirety. And so this is what we do. And if you've been listening in 1 Corinthians, you first six and a half chapters, seven and a half chapters, you can get a good idea of sometimes the difficulty in teaching this way, because we've discussed a lot about sexual preferences, sexual immorality, the way God has set up the sexual relationship, the desire and the drive that He's put within us, and we've discussed this extensively. Why? Well, because that was, number one, a big problem in the Corinthian church that Paul was addressing, but number two, it's something that we have to address in our everyday life, because that sexual drive that God has put in us has not changed since the day we were created. So let's pick it up back in chapter 7, 1 Corinthians, verse 19, and it reads, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Now, just to quick catch up. And remember, if you missed any of the messages, go to washandword.com. You can hear them. But he's talking about circumcision because he was just got off the heels of addressing the situation where they were in that church. Some of them who were circumcised were trying to get uncircumcised, and some of them who weren't circumcised, they were trying to. And what Paul was saying is basically, look, it's not about circumcision, because that, of course, was one of the telltale marks of a Jew back then. And if you wanted to become a Jew as a Gentile or a non-Jew, a proselyte Jew is what they were called, you had to get circumcised. But Paul's saying, look, this has nothing to do with any of that. Here's what it has to do with. That's the latter part of verse 19. Keeping God's commands is what counts. In verse 20, each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called, is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each man, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation God called him to. Now, we'll stop right there. You might be wondering, why is Paul talking about slavery? Well, he's referencing slaves, and he's talking and touching on something that was very prevalent in that day. Now, we think of the word slaves, and we think of the sordid American history of slavery here in America, but back then, slaves were really nothing more than what one might call a hired hand. Bringing people on. If you're wealthy, you bring people on to take care of your landscaping or do your cooking or your cleaning. And that's kind of what they were. Many of these slaves would have been poor and desolate and on the streets begging for money just to eat had they not been welcomed into homes where they were, sure, they worked for free, but they got food and shelter and love. A lot of times, a lot of slaves were loved by their masters. They became like family. And so it was it's a different connotation of the word slavery back then, but it was very prevalent in that day. And what Paul is saying, as far as I understand, is that our rights as a Christian exceed and extend far beyond any earthly rights. And that's to say that in Christ, we are more free than anyone, or more free than we ever have been. So whether you're a slave or you're a free man, in Christ, we become a slave to Christ, but we are more free than we ever have been or ever can be outside of Christ. And why is that? Because it extends far beyond our earthly rights. We are more blessed. We are more endowed with power as the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And so even what Paul is saying is that you have a right to be free. He's saying if you're a slave in Christ, you should try to get out of that slavery. Allow the Lord to provide for you and to move you into a different situation in your life. But he says you don't have to exercise that right. He says if you're a slave and you want to remain a slave, that's fine. You're already free in Christ. He says, but you know, even if you don't exercise that right to be free, you're actually going to you have a greater witness by choosing to be someplace that you don't have to be. And, you know, there are some Christians that live in these war-torn, oppressive third-world country societies who have been given opportunities to get out of that area, but they choose, rather, to remain there because of the need that they see that their witness will bring to others. And so Paul is also quick to point out that one does not have to remain in their current state, and if the opportunity for freedom arises, he says to go ahead and take it. So put all this together, what Paul is saying is, listen, whatever has happened for a reason. He's saying, stop trying so hard to be a Christian and just live out the place and time that God has set you in. Maybe he's trying to say to you, hey, stop trying to fix your marriage. Stop trying so hard. Stop trying to arrange your job situation to achieve that certain position. Stop trying to change your external circumstances or trying to orchestrate every circumstance in your life. He's saying, listen, that is my job, God says. And listen, God is very good at it. Sometimes we have to step back and just let God work in the situations that we are in and stop trying to be such a, in quotations, help to the Lord. And part of Paul's transition into specific behavioral issues is to answer an obvious concern that they had about single life. But we don't always have the answer in God's word. Let's read 25. He says, now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is trustworthy. So let's stop right there. So again, he's talking about the single life. He's talking about virgins now. And he says, I have no command from the Lord. He says, but I have a command or an opinion. And that leads me to an application point. And that's simply this. Where God's word is silent, people who have been proven trustworthy and faithful in handling God's word can be trusted to give godly counsel. And that's just another way of saying, when you don't know what to do, when God's word isn't clear on something, rather than make up a decision based on how we feel or what we would desire, if God's word is silent, seek out somebody who has already proven themselves to be trustful and faithful in handling God's word elsewhere. You see, if a person can prove to be trustworthy in handling God's word, when you have a question that's not directly in God's word, that person will be able to give you godly counsel. Why? Because that person is well-versed in all the verses. And this is, again, another plug for why we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching. Because if you are endowed with the fullness and the entire counsel of God's word, you will be better equipped to help those who are seeking answers, who have questions that aren't specifically answered in God's word. And so Paul says in verse 25, he goes, you know, I have no command from the Lord, but I can give a judgment as one who is trustworthy. We looked at this scripture several teachings ago, but in 1 Corinthians 4:1, Paul says, so then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. There are men and women out there who God has entrusted with wisdom. It's a spiritual gift, an endowment, a spirit of knowledge, a spirit of wisdom. It's the gifting of knowing something. A gifting of prophecy sometimes is a word, or a word of knowledge. These are gifts the Spirit gives for the sake of answering questions that people have that are not directly in God's word. I mean, let's face it. Sometimes God's word is not specific to your need or your problem, especially in the invent of the internet and so much technology. None of that stuff was back then. But God is faithful, and he has entrusted unto faithful men and women, usually through trial and error, to give us good counsel on any and every subject. Paul continues, verse 26, and because of the present crisis, that is the sexual situations that were going on in 1 Corinthians, he says, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you from this. insert joke here. I won't, though, because my wife listens to these. But what does Paul say? But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you from this. Oh, Paul, truer words have never been spoken. All kidding aside, marriage is the second greatest institution ever created by God, next to the covenant we have with Christ. It was a designed partnership to explore and enhance relationships. But this is another clue that Paul is speaking from experience. Paul is being very specific here in verse 26. He says, because of the present distress. But the principle remains. If a person is hit with bad news or a trying, troubled time, they may find the courage and strength in the Lord to push through it. But that same person might be dragged down by a spouse with less faith. Or one may have to move suddenly or react radically, and all these things can be hindered by a relationship or by having kids. Not to mention that the married man is always looking out for ways to please his wife, or wife pleasing the husband, failing constantly, of course, but we're always looking for ways, aren't we, guys? So let's leave you with this point as we wind our time down here. Anything, even something as highly regarded as the covenant of marriage, can be a distraction or a hindrance in regards to serving the Lord. Now, I said it can be a distraction or a hindrance. And this is Paul's point. He's saying, in other words, don't try to force a marriage or relationship. Don't go looking for it or arranging it or trying to fit the pieces together, playing matchmaker. In fact, quite often it is upon our acceptance in this area of being single or stopping looking so hard that we discover our companion. And that's how I found my wife. I decided I wasn't going to look anymore. I was going to trust God, and I found her a week later. So no doubt marriage can be distracting and cumbersome in some ways, and Paul is not against it by any means, but he's saying just be aware that it can hinder the work of God or your witness or your serving him. So these are just warnings Paul's given, and we're about out of time. So join me tomorrow. We'll pick this up in verse 29. Join me at the Washing Word. Come say hi. Let us know you're hearing these sermons. And go to Abundant Life Fellowship Sundays at 6 p.m. for live verse-by-verse teaching. Have a blessed day.